Cultists Anonymous and our Mage of the Awakening Chronicle Into the West. Thanks for joining us. As mentioned previously, I'm playing with the Time Arcana, and we're going to see if I fuck anything up. That's right, I can say the F word now at the start of a YouTube video and not get demonetized. Who better to have with me?
So true, bestie.
Before we get deep into our obscenities, thank you all for joining us. Shout outs to our patrons who support us monetarily: 1D4 Con, James, Adele, Alice, Alexander, Alsert, Alu, Bernie, Chris, Doc, Emil, Jeff, George, Catfeathers, Klaus, hang on, Meteor V Bunny. Okay. Milo V3, Moku, Mozart D minor, Nick, Other Guy, Perry, Food, Polkadot, Hubris, Puppeteer, Riafio, Shexara, Starfish, Terran, The Nowhere King, This Is Hype, Thomas, Tom, Verhex, and Vortex. Thank y'all so much for your support. When we last left the coven, they'd met up with the architect, Archmage Rilla, and had a little chat, a little heart to heart about I'm the one who kind of got this thing going, and I know functionally how to stop it, but I've never been successful. But maybe now, having this many archmages, we can blitz the god machine. But we got to do some recon first. And there was more conversation. But Isabel was like, nah, I have another problem I need to solve first, which may be a secret weapon that will help us later.
A surprise tool for later.
Exactly. And took off to Boston, by flapping her wings, and soaring through the sky, something twice as high, sent a book. I think that's how the song goes. Anyways, unless you have butterfly
in the sky.
That's it.
Yeah. Take a look. It's in a book. It's reading rainbow.
Something read banned books. Thank you, LeVar Burton. So unless you have some other plan, I believe we pick up in Boston after a long day's flight.
Yeah, it takes a while.
Yeah. Flying by jet is going to be, several hours. Flying by human-sized bird wings, still going to be a minute. Now, the alternative would be to be a little bit more, Legba-esque. You don't have space, but you do have a road. Mundane flight to Boston, then.
Hell yeah.
Which means then that we go meet up with our dear friend, whose name I do have here. I just have to find it. From the Adamantine Arrow, Nalita, who was at the bar, which I imagine is where you're headed,
that's sort of the only thing I know, right?
Right. Well, there's the, and I know who I'm talking to when I say this, but the proper thing of introducing yourself to, like, the Herald and coming into the Consilium and stuff like that, as opposed to flying in and landing outside of a known Adamantine Arrow safe house. But I know who I'm talking to. So I imagine we are not full on alighting in the middle of the beer garden, but I definitely feel like there's some looks in Boston that evening
gunslinger just walks right. into
the- I was just saying, like, not even painted up, but a woman gunslinger.
Yep.
Sheriff badge, because if I remember correctly, you actually got a sheriff badge made.
Yeah.
Striding through the streets of Boston, where, the normal attire are suits and dresses, and the idea of pants of that style. Definitely not happening on most men, definitely not on any of the women. You have six guns. And so there's looks, and then
four more?
Huh? Oh god. No more guns for Petrichor. Unless you don't have matter, so you can't snap them into existence. But
or Prime. Yeah.
Definitely getting some looks, but then a quick, you know what? Never mind. This is not my business. I'm not going to say just something. Yeah.
Tilt her hat, ma'am.
I definitely think there's, you know, some definite looks and like, you know, never mind. That's not my business. But the double back, the meme, the look over the shoulder.
People learn something about themselves that night.
Yep. Man, I don't know how they would react. Actually, I think you get to the bar, and there's lots of funny looks, but nobody inherently, obviously magical comes to say hey. At least not like right when you walk in and you don't find a thing.
I would say she waits. This is as patient as she'll be.
Okay.
She waits in the beer garden to be, you know, at least invited in.
Fair enough.
Failing invitation, like a greeting outdoors and in like a, like, hey, we're actually going to go talk somewhere else.
Sure. I gotcha. Being an obvious oddity does, you know, kind of speed some of the word of mouth. And one of the staff who I imagine, I'm you know, imagining stuffy white shirt and trousers, walks over and, ma'am, I think this is not the establishment you're looking for. This is not a kind of eyes up and down, not a saloon. Could you tell me what you're looking to find, and maybe I can point you to someplace else?
She starts speaking in Spanish.
No habla inglés.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, basically just, you know, it's like, excuse me, I know very well what I'm supposed to be.
And turns and walks back in. And a moment later, somebody a little more well-dressed comes out. Giving you big manager vibes, and well, actually, probably owner. Kind of looks you over, and there's a moment of you get the once over, and they're like, "Okay, Western gunslinger come into town." It's not unusual; like these people do come in, but she's a woman, and then
there's trains,
right? Exactly. And then there's a second glance and just some of the iconography, we'll say, in the clothing, some of the things probably I imagine on the guns, you know, the handles and stuff like that. And he pauses, says something quietly to the serving staff who walks back in. And then he, you know, walks over and looking less... less peeved and now more professional, you know, kind of bends forward and says, "Ma'am, I believe you may want to use our back room." And in that motion, there's just this little hand point into the room, and there is the door that was not there before with a great big adamantine arrow like seal on it, and it's definitely one of those, hey, that wasn't here before, but now that some attention has been brought, it's like, oh, was that there this entire time? fucking magic. And then
thank you so much, sir.
Of course. And then like offers a hand to help you up and walks with you to the door. Sure.
And she knows how to play the game.
Right. And just walks with you to the door. And as you walk, there's that little bit of peripheral magic and just a little like veiling flavor to it, though I guess technically you need a merit to know that, but you know. And yeah, you don't get any extra looks as you and the owner walk in, and he escorts you to the door and then kind of stands up and takes a post, like guarding post next to it, and just kind of nods to the door, doesn't open it for you. And I believe you were blindfolded when you had come up. Or I think you even were like, oh no, I'll just blind myself, I think is even the move that you had made. But the elevation change and the stairs and the little bit of twist and turn. Oh, okay, this feels familiar. It's going backwards, obviously, but and take your way down into a bunker. It is as nondescript armory, you know, safe house as it was before, but now with several large trestle tables. Is that the term I'm looking for?
Like a picnic table kind of thing?
Kind of. But they have basically the center post and the wide feet. Sure. But yes, several trestle tables set up along walls and maps set out on them. And it is a little bit of, we're not quite at kicked anthill, but we're definitely like anthill levels of activity. People moving back and forth, talking. And there's two younger mages who impede your path for a second. Standing in front of you, there's no hands up or blades, just a definite like, wait, hang on. And the younger of them says, excuse me, ma'am, I just you need to wait right here. Like,
certainly.
Oh,
for how long?
And like the flash of concern hits him. 5 minutes. And just stare him down.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then
it'll,
like,
it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Find me Melita.
She like, as he is leaving into the mess of movement, the other smiles with a little bit more understanding, a little bit older, and says she has been alerted and is finishing up a meeting. And like, there's a little edge to that word. And yeah, you wait less than 5 minutes right there at the door, and Nalita emerges from another door off of this main room, none of the rooms that you've had the opportunity to explore previously. And she comes out and she's wearing that same Grecian toga and marches through the throng of people who just make way because she's full steam ahead, and like pulls you into like the warrior embrace, you know, grabs your forearms and says, Petrichor, it's been a minute. How are you?
I have no idea how many minutes it's been.
Less than five, I believe.
No, I mean, how many I have experienced since the last time I saw you.
Oh, that's true. That is subject. Have you been? And she looks you over up and down a couple times. You have the little sense of like little mage sight, life magic going on. And she's like, you do not seem much older. Pretty similar to what I've experienced.
Do you have a mind mage available to you?
Yes.
Grab them. Come with me. There's something I need to show you.
Is this Tempestari related then?
Yes.
Fabulous. Like, there is a hungry feral grin as she kind of snaps at another mage who looks a little bewildered. And, you know, this is out of the kind of, I don't want to say regimented because that gives too much of the military vibe to the adamantine arrow, but you know, the
paramilitary.
Right. And so she, you know, quickly joins you with another mage who looks as if he's actually seen some combat. There's that look in the eye, the like, he doesn't have a prey look like some of the new adamantine arrow who are a little overwhelmed. This is at least one of the what are they called, the thunderbolt leaders. This is somebody with some
thunderbolt experience. Guardian,
those, man, they got some good names.
Yeah, they do.
And falls up and falls in step with Delita, and she motions up the stairs, and then, or we have rooms here if that's comfortable for you.
Whatever works.
Fabulous. And she kind of, you know, touches your arm and leads you with the other mage falling in a step behind you and into one of the kind of like ancillary rooms. It looks like it would be like a squad briefing room. There's like some chairs, a big spot to put a map up, but very kind of nondescript, you know, meeting room for, like you said, paramilitary purposes. And she just steps into the middle of the room, takes a seat, kind of motions to the big open space in front of you and goes, this was kind of sudden, and we didn't even have word that from the Herald that a new mage had arrived, so I'm sure that's going to send the whole Consilium into a tizzy. But what's up?
I found the Tempest.
She kind of gives you a look. She's like, have you been drinking? We know where the Tempest is.
I found its origin.
That makes her lean in a little bit more. And she goes, do tell.
I'd rather show. And she looks at this other mage. I'm going to think really hard about this. Grab it from my mind and play the scene for her, if you will.
And the mage kind of looks down at Nalita, and Nalita shrugs. It's like, you're the guy who does mind stuff, Vanis. Okay. Sure. Let's do that. I'm just going to reach in and grab whatever's on top.
Absolutely.
Okay. Haven't ever done it like that. And you just whips up a quick, you know, mind spell, just not even read the depths. That's one. Not just surface thoughts, but like, you know, a fresh, active memory kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And he kind of gasps and goes, okay, Hank, let me. And there's a moment of looping in, and then you feel the very familiar sensation of telepathy. Mm-hmm. And he goes, I think this might be a little better. Are you comfortable with this, ma'am?
More than you know.
It seems so. Okay.
This is how my coven functions every day.
That's rather intimate. That's kind of nice. And sorry, I'm getting distracted, please. Oh, that's true. Yeah. You guys probably are. Overall, all our games have been fairly small covets until the end, and then all of a sudden we start picking up all these stragglers. But yeah, with that, it's much easier, and you share, I guess, a portion of your Archmage journey.
Yep. Specifically the scene of like winding up in the Neolithic and like breathing life into the storm.
Do you let in, or actually let me ask this the other way. Jesse, does Petrichor let in any ancillary stuff, or do you think she has enough control to be like, no, this is all you get, and you don't get the context that I am an Archmage?
I don't think she cares if they know.
Okay. Cool.
I think it helps explain the situation better.
Absolutely. But, you know, you don't have to explain everything. But yeah, I like that she just doesn't care, because why would she? She doesn't have to play by their rules. And Nalita and Vanas sit in kind of stunned silence as they watch this story project, in my mind, in first person, right? Because that's how you're going to view this.
And, yeah, that's how you have memories for the most part.
Right. And Vanas goes, I don't understand. Nalita's, no, you wouldn't, but this is, how did you get this memory?
What do you mean, how did I get this memory?
And it is like, mine. There's, yeah, right. And the further telepathy, as you're thinking about stuff and kind of letting more of this out, and she kind of sits back a little bit. Thank you, Vanas. I
would handle it.
You did. Yes. That's enough, Vanas. You can... thank you.
Thank you, Vanas.
And he kind of like, he'd gone from that, you know, he's got that predatory, I'm a fighter, I know how to handle things, and now he is deer in the headlights, backing up. And thank you, ma'am.
If you need a favor from me, please ask.
Thank you, ma'am. Appreciate that. Like, as he backed away, because, you know, Archmages are mythological beings, and here you are just casually dropping, oh yeah, Neolithic, just after the fall, the very first storm, yeah, I created that. He just kind of walks out, and Nalita kind of grins and goes, well, he's going to have free drinks for a long time. What the fuck? Excuse me.
Mm-hmm. That's fine.
Ma'am, what does this make of our relationship?
Well, it hasn't truly changed my relationship to my husband, so I doubt one with my friends would be much changed.
You're married? Yeah, okay.
He's a sleepwalker, it's fine.
There's so much to unpack there, but that's not...
You're welcome to travel west and find out what my life is like someday.
I will come visit. After all this, I'm coming to visit, because I need to see this tiny podunk town that everybody said there's nothing there except a bunch of backwater witches. Do they... Never mind. Let's... Tempest. Storm.
That's the question you want to ask.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions I want to ask.
The one you were about to ask, though.
I don't even want to know.
The coven?
Yeah, are you all Archmages?
Yes.
I'm going to pretend that's a lie, because... what have I gotten myself into? And like, looking around, the like, there's nobody of there. The
century.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know what? For the Tempest.
Nalita, would you like to save the world?
That's an unfair question. Of course I do. But like, Archmages is no territory. We don't get involved with them. You steer clear. You don't do what they want, because they're going to stab you in the back. But you hang on.
Seems unlikely.
No, you would shoot me in the front. You weren't an Archmage.
No.
Your timing is off. We could have skipped so much hassle if you just done this before. Never mind. Getting sidetracked.
I think we needed to lose that day to give me the motivation.
Oh, man, there's that fate and time stuff. Ugh. But yeah. Yes. That checks out. So are you just going to snap your... You're not going to just snap your fingers and take the Tempest, because if you were, you would have. How can I help?
We need to begin gathering up those that have scattered in our defeat and go back and take it back. There are a number of ways it could go, and I will need to consult with the Supernal of the Tempest that I've been in contact with.
I see.
Well, she's a Abrimos. Mm. Yeah, so she can't see him.
I mean, you could fix that with spirit.
Hmm?
Oh, right. Because he's a dog. Supernal. Yep. Yeah. You were totally right. Yep. Well, I'm not going to second guess what you're capable of or anything, but a simple spell with sympathetic range just into everybody we have connection to, and just a throwdown, an ultimatum, or a warning, or...
I like the idea. It's not something that I can accomplish, but...
And you see her eyes kind of widen a little bit and brighten up, and like a little stage whisper of, I can do something an Archmage can't.
When you meet the other members of my coven, you'll understand why I have no interest in studying space.
And she nods, she's like,
not been necessary.
I understand. Especially if you were just there in Purgatory Bluff and don't plan to travel much. Yeah, okay. But no,
I love traveling.
That's true. Yeah, I could. I have the ability to send a spell to everybody. I think everybody. It would be a large spell, but I can manage that as long as the factors are otherwise limited. I could send a sound that they all hear. I could send your voice.
Wonderful. Space and forces.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Do you know what you'll say?
I'm sure I can figure it out.
Okay, well, and she, you can see the whole, like, this is a chore I need to do, and there, I just need to just go ahead and do it now, or I'm never going to do it. And so she gets up and, you know, enters that same kind of open space that you're standing in, and, okay.
Can I clarify real quick?
Mm-hmm.
Is she targeting all of the, just everyone in the legacy? Okay, so yeah. The Seers included?
Yeah, because she's going to basically use the sympathetic connection she has to everybody in the legacy, and some of them?
Who?
Because she's going to do a broad number of subjects, so she has to bump the potency up for missing sympathetic names, which is kind of expected. But otherwise, keeping the potency low means that she can just put it all into scale, and then it'll be a short.
Missing sympathetic names.
Yeah, because she doesn't necessarily know everybody's real name. So you take step in sympathetic range. Stuff Jesse has never had to mess with. Sympathetic range? No, I got weird.
I was like, you have a strong connection to other people in your legacy. So right.
It just gets bumped down to
the medium.
Or weak. I can't remember. I feel like it goes from a plus two down to a plus one or
whatever. That's fine.
Either way, she can manage it as long as like the rest of the stuff is not too much, because she's also aiming at a large scale of subjects, because it's not area, because it's individual people. So she kind of like takes a minute and works some yantras and stuff, and then kind of holds the spell at the ready and goes, I'm ready to she flipped that around. Are you ready to dictate your message? Okay. Begin. And she basically just sends the sound that she hears in the room to everybody in the spell, which is, because I imagine the Tempest are definitely maybe 100 members.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somewhere between 50 and 100 was what I thought. Yeah.
So, yeah. So everybody's going to get a surprise spell. And across that particular connection, some people may, you know, push it off or, you know, ward against it. But yeah, this is at least the best opening step that you could do, I think.
Brothers of lightning and sisters of thunder, I speak to you as the mother of storms, Petrichor. We will not sit in silence and banishment from the tempest which is mine. 1 week hence, I shall reclaim it, and all those that would fight alongside me for its reclamation are welcome. All those currently in possession of it, aligned with the supernal gods of oppression, you have been given notice of your impending demise. Leave and ground yourselves, lest my lightning strike true.
And yeah, short and sweet, and also very Tempestari. And the spell finishes casting effectively, or I guess the duration ends, and you have the crumbly,
the weird loop back of it getting sent to me.
And you know, she kind of looks and kind of grins and goes,
hell yeah, that was cool.
So I just realized that if anybody looks at that spell, it's just my signature over all of it. This is why you don't get involved in with Archmages. You just get looped into all sorts of crap.
Well, that's why you're on my side.
I am. And I have, and she kind of looks, and sisters, brothers that I know that will definitely join us, others of the Diamond Order, but it's going to be the Nameless that we really need to hope for, because, and she kind of like looks, there's a little wince as she says it, because even with an Archmaster on her side, I don't think that means the rest of us just get to win.
No. I will cook something up for it, though. I have friends that I'll bring.
You have a coven full of Archmages, apparently.
No, I have the four winds.
Come again?
Spirits of the four winds are my familiars.
Because this is a thing archmages do. Yes, ma'am.
I need to know what is happening.
That's true, and you don't have order to rely on, because... Right. Yeah, you're going to just do everything weird, aren't you?
I've been told.
Okay. I'm on board.
In my defense, had more arrows shown up to talk to us, I might have been more on board.
She nods, yes, we are, you know.
But the Mysterium agents from New York did not appreciate our fledgling independence and tried to extort secrets out of us with their knowledge.
Yeah, I can't say that's just them. But, yeah. The diamond needs help.
It needs a batch of new blood.
Hey, if you're like looking to get recruited, I have paperwork. We can get you signed up right now.
I don't think that's legal.
Also, probably not, no. But, you know, if it's just between you, me, and we'll have to bury Vana somewhere. But, you know, you just don't tell. Okay.
it seems a shame to kill the boy before I let him have his favor, but...
True.
No, what I mean is, outside of taking back the Tempest, how deep do you want to get?
You are my Tempestari sister. You fought alongside me and shed blood alongside me, and now have revealed a secret. And she kind of gives you a look, realizing that you really don't seem to care about it being a secret, about yourself, that others would keep secret. And I think you've earned at least a modicum of loyalty. And hey, if you're giving out favors, being owed a favor from an archmage doesn't sound like a bad idea.
No, it doesn't. Have you heard of the serpents?
Not without context.
They're a seer cabal of at least some archmasters. Currently embarked upon a goal of finishing what the fall started. Of suppressing every bit of wonder and mystery out of the world. And permanently putting everyone to sleep.
Well, that sounds particularly bad.
My cabal and I, Coven and I, sort of fell quite accidentally into contact with them and got in the way of some of their plans before we knew what we were doing. And have been engaged in a back and forth shadow war for a while.
Oh, see, that part I understand. So you're asking me how deep I want to get in on a shadow war against a particular group of seers. Yeah, I'm on board. Like, that's not a question. The Archmage stuff, you know, makes me wonder how much weight I can pull, but I'm on board for anything within my capacity. As And she like she holds her hand up. She, as long as I'm not in some way betraying or, you know, endangering sleepers.
No, you're very much protecting them.
Then I think we can get along just fine.
After we take back the Tempest, however that results, the main goal that I think we have out west, and that the Diamond should have, is to make sure that as many Nameless Orders come to the side of the Diamond as possible. Just as the country itself is forming lines, I think Mage Society is about to have
a dust up.
Strict lines established. And the days of backwater covens out in Colorado is quickly passing.
She asks, what's Colorado? Anyways.
Is it not?
Not yet. It's still Indian territory.
It's still... Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yep. And it'll be Indian territory and Northwestern territory or Western territory for a bit. Either way, Purgatory Bluff. Yeah. She nods and she says, yeah. I'm on board for that. And like I said, I know some brothers and sisters, and if need be, some of the folks here in Boston were not exactly John Brown, but we'll throw down.
Very well. I'm not sure how much, frankly, I don't know anything about your political situation here, but I think your concilium must consider things I've said today.
I will probably have to. Good.
I'm happy to come back and testify in any way that need be, if it is helpful.
I think the hierarch and the counselors would shit their collective pants. But I can definitely bring some of this forward to the concilium personally. Not throwing around that a Nameless Order archmage told me. And
sure. We don't have to tell them immediately.
Yeah. And start nudging them towards at least preparation for action. Because if it is something that literally is threatening the world, to throw it into a new fall, a greater veil, or whatever fancy term they come up with.
Sure, good. Hopefully we don't really need to have a name for it.
Correct. Then hopefully we get in the way. Because, at least speaking on behalf of my order, inaction would be worse than failing.
Agreed. It is not like us to sit still.
Not at all. I think we can... I think we can fade the scene there. As Nalita escorts you back upstairs and out into the beer garden again, and another more appropriate farewell than the warrior embrace, because as she comes up the stairs, suddenly she has a dress on, mm-hmm. or more specifically, the toga becomes a dress. Mm-hmm. And you were kind of left to your own devices safely outside of secure adamantine arrow territory.
I think she, like, I think Petrichor operating on the timeline that her coven has sort of approached tasks just offers to that she will be in town for the next 2 days whenever the Consilium would like to speak with her.
2 days?
Fine, four. She'll need at least a couple to prepare to take the Tempest.
Nalita grins and says, "Well, we'll see if that happens." more out of character for Jesse. Do you plan to chill for a few days? Do you have other stuff in mind, or do you want to double back? Because we can definitely, you know, time skip for it a little bit.
Yeah. I think as far as her goals, like, she has set the sort of time to go to
the Tempest itself.
The Tempest. Mm-hmm. She does reach out along lines to her familiars and tells them to meet her at the Tempest at the appointed time.
Sure. Okay. Cool. Yeah, in that case, we can definitely jump forward to a Consilium meeting. Let me see here.
Go ahead, storyteller. Make up a bunch of NPCs.
Yep. Fortunately, that's easy because I can just refer to them by title. I'm just updating. My internal chronometer. Very well. So yeah, the idea of making you wait for, you know, the next Consilium meeting, you know, which happens, you know, like once a month, probably seems like a bad idea to Nalita. So and being an adamant sage herself, she has a little bit of pull. And we pick up with Petrichor meeting 2 days later. So you've had enough time to, well, calling your familiars is a, you know, reflexive action. Yeah. But
she like explores the new city. She's never been here. She's never been to this like entire like biome of the world.
Mm. It's so warm and wet. Well, cool and wet, excuse me.
Yes. Well, it's
November.
October. It's November, yeah, it's pretty chilly.
Yep. Yeah.
She like goes shopping and gets some more appropriate dress to not be like full gunslinger
mode. Stand out, yeah. Make some adjustments with the tailor. Yes, I need to be able to reach my holsters. Because you know, back then women's dresses didn't have pockets, but they had holes to reach the pockets under the dresses, or in Petrichor's case, her holsters.
Yep.
yes, we have a, we'll say, special council meeting rather than a full speech to the Consilium.
Mm-hmm.
Because Delita brings forth some strong claims, and the counselors are like, oh, we're not just going to air that to everybody. So you have a meeting with the Hierarch, the four counselors, and Nalita and a couple other of the Adamantine Arrow who basically are backing Nalita's play, and also saw you come out with a bunch of Tempestari wounded and beaten up. And of course, at this point, you know, it's been a couple months since you lost the Tempest, and so the that story has gone around, because you know, the Tempest Ari aren't exactly a secretive bunch about their legacy, nor about the Tempest itself, because at the end of the day, you have stories all the time of, well, this big old storm came through and everybody looks at Delita and goes, that one wasn't us. Ours is still in the Gulf. Now, it could have been the Tempest Starry, but it wasn't the Tempest.
That's me. You'd know it if it was us.
Right. Exactly. People tell myths when the Tempest shows up. So, excuse me. The council meeting happens in a, well, it goes through a back room of the Boston City Hall into what is clearly a pocket dimension. It is bigger on the inside sort of situation of the absolute Petrichor hates this silver ladder like ornamentation and iconography, and it is very to borrow the Mage the Ascension term, very hermetic mage, lots of geometric designs and stuff like that. And the counselors and hierarchs sit in clearly ornamental and traditional, what's the term I'm looking for here, robes. I can't think of the word. Will come up. It'll come up later. But yeah, in very showy, flashy wizard robes without being like pointy shoulder pads.
Yeah, they put on their wizards on us.
Yep, you got it. And they are basically taking a special meeting with you in what you surmise to be their private council chamber. This is where we get together to have meetings kind of thing. So they're sitting at a large table with various maps of the city, maps of the country, maps of the world laid out, various books that are being written about the particular Consilium mystery. All the like deepest, darkest, you know, secrets are kind of enclosed books laid out on the table. And then there's you at the, you know, more or less corner, you know, because it's a small room for the five of them and they have five seats. And you're standing, Nalita's there, the rest of the Adamantine era are kind of crammed in. It is very much a impromptu Nalita twisted our arm kind of thing. And considering the fact that you're meeting with them, they definitely don't know you're an Archmage. But
yep.
The Hierarch looks at you and strokes his, I swear to God, long, white, pointy beard and goes, Petrichor, Nalita has told us some threat is coming and you indeed wish to make an alliance with us without repeating exactly what Nalita has told us. What is it that we can do? And why should we?
First of all, thanks to each of you for spending some of your valuable time with me here today. What I had approached Nalita with is that there is a feeling out in the frontier among the Nameless Orders that we are soon to be forced to choose sides between yourselves and the Seers.
One of the counselors kind of leans forward and that's a decision that you have to debate about?
It would not be for our coven. Our order.
The she nods, leans back, and like, okay, we're please continue.
But certainly for like, others. Who might find the circumstances of the diamond's operation an affront to their freedoms. They might be tempted to follow some of the sweet offerings at this year's end. And so, again, without diving into the threat that is being built in full detail, I and members of my coven are making contact with several other concilia, and trying to begin the process of diplomatic relations on a renewed front.
One of the other counselors leans in and, so how many nameless orders are you already in contact with?
I mean, out of character at this point, like at least a dozen, right?
Yeah, easily.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he nods and kind of, okay, and they're members
are larger than others.
Okay.
Some are more powerful than others.
There's a little bristling amongst the rest, but you know, again, not an outright threat, but there's that whole implied thing that happens. Okay, so that is a decent reason for why we might want to work with you, but what exactly are you asking of us? It's a bit of an open and vague thing at the moment.
In the spirit of the country in which we reside, I think an organization of democratically connected orders would be fitting for the needs and desires of most of the orders that I've found and come in contact with.
So you just want a say, a voice at the table?
I believe so. That is something that, had it been offered to me when I was a new mage, approached by those of New York, might have made a difference in my choices.
Some more nodding, and you know, it is Boston, and they have a history here. And they're looking at each other and go, well. And they kind of lean in and talk to one another quietly, relying on the fact that any spells that you had were either dropped or at least not actively visible. And then lean back over and say, I believe, as you said, that is an acceptable start for an alliance. We will not agree to anything now, but meeting together. Perhaps we will have a convocation of the Northeastern, and there's several nods, convocation, and we will gather together as, well, the forefathers of this nation did, and meet with the Nameless Orders, both your Western ones and the ones we have within our own territories. If nothing else, an alliance with us prevents, at least on paper, you leaning towards joining with whatever the Seers might offer. And their offers can be tempting.
Indeed.
If you are not asking us to take up arms and march out against some vague threat, then we can at least agree to talks and opening our doors. We are not deaf to the rumblings across the astral that things are happening and not merely a war within the states. Things are...
You're saying it spreads through the world.
It does. There's discussion. There's even signs within the astral realms of the Diamond Order that show change.
Interesting. I'll admit it's not my area of expertise.
But it is happening. And the Diamond Order did, at one point, have more than four orders. So,
truly.
Indeed, it's, well, messy tale. But yes, there were other orders. It has not always been us four, and even, and one of the mages kind of waves, and even the Mysterium is young compared to the rest of us. So we are not completely inflexible, as some would have you think, as he adjusts his robe that is probably like older than the United States.
Crushed within an inch of its life.
Right, yeah. Then,
if I may speak plainly about a mundane issue.
Oh, very well.
The mundane issue.
What do you mean?
The diamond must agree. To the cause of abolition.
Oh, and like there's head nods around. You will find support of that here within this concilium.
No, I would, but
the rest, I agree. And that may very well be a hinge in the convocation. We bring the Nameless Orders together, and as I know, many members of those Nameless Orders are apostates who left our own ranks because of that issue. Bringing them back by taking a stand with, they say the North? Probably. With the North.
The Union?
Sorry, what was that?
The Union?
Yeah, but they even say that yet? Because we don't have the Confederate States yet, but yeah.
I mean, but it is the, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know what terminology they use in 1857 for, but yes, abolitionist, slave-free states.
The initial discovery of the threat that the Seers are currently composing came from my coven's work as abolitionary forces.
Truly. Well, that's definitely something that we could spin to our favor. One less tool. One less tool of oppression. Even if some of our fellows think that it has a place in society, I think it is, well, we all hear.
She just spits on the ground.
There is like shock from everybody, and then a dotted. Yeah. Yeah, that seems appropriate. Yes, you did say you wanted to speak plainly. We just didn't expect it to be that plain. But yes, our stance within the convocation will definitely be pro-abolitionist. And I know there will be others, and perhaps by having a convocation and showing what is at stake, nameless orders that could ally with us. But if both the Diamond and the Sears are pro-slavery, or at least ambivalent to it, then it becomes a decision that Nameless Orders could waffle on. But, well, if that's the thing you... Nope, hang on. How would they say that? If that is going to be a voting issue, then we have more incentive to push more on our sister concilium. Concilia. And we will start making inroads. I don't know when the convocation could be held, but with tensions rising, perhaps sooner rather than later would be best. And like you can see the hierarch grinning a little bit with silver ladder. Ooh, we get to organize glee. Yes, perhaps we should have it. Perhaps we should have it hosted here. Though Philadelphia will fight again, but perhaps we should host just to make sure things go right. Yeah, and I think
if you have.
Go ahead.
If you have contacts, you think that my personal advocacy towards might help. I'm happy to travel.
They nod, and actually, that's spot on. Actually, because the hierarch goes and takes paper vellum, and begins writing very quickly. The handwriting is not overly like floral and artsy or anything like that. It looks like a letter. It just happens to be on vellum because of course it has to be. And then after writing it, signs, that's big and fancy, and then slides it across to you. It's basically a write-up of the bearer here, you know, comes with best wishes from the Boston Concilium. You know, please treat them as a guest. They have an important message, and we ask that you hear them out, you know, with integrity, blah, 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 blah. It's just a very fancy, hi. Sure.
It's a letter of introduction, essentially.
Yeah, that's a good way of saying it. You know, confirmation that, contrary to your looks, you can let them in. They're not going to cause trouble. I actually think the sheriff badge probably goes a pretty good way with them. It's like you don't walk around with a sheriff badge.
It kind of speaks to like three of the four orders, mm-hmm. honestly.
Yep. Because I mean, Silver Ladder literally used badges for their order tool. So yeah, absolutely. And you know, they like imposing some order here and there. Cool. And then as they are Hierarch is explaining the idea of a letter of introduction, just, you know, very, very vaguely, because Isabel grew up in high society. She gets that, right?
Which does not give off the vibe, though.
Right. And I think that's the other thing that probably happens over the course of that meeting is they're like, oh, wait, hang on. She is not like grown up Western yeehaw, you know, podunk. No, there's that thing, which Petrichor and Isabel,
as soon as she starts talking,
that's true.
Like all that storytelling and flair starts coming out. They're like, oh, hold on.
Yep. But also like the high society aspect that, you know, I'm sure Petrichor and Isabel has kind of tamped down, but comes up every now and then. And they're like, wait, hang on. But explaining the letter of introduction, somebody else starts writing up what is basically an invitation to the convocation, to the bearer and their chosen, I guess, guests to represent their various nameless orders, covens and cabals, to speak at the convocation, to be held at a fourth, blah, blah, blah. More or less being, here is a nice, clean proof of, hey, this is what we mean to do. Oh, and it's all written in high speech. Right. Yeah. That probably is the reason they start to explain that it's a letter of introduction. I forgot you don't have the merit for it.
You just cut out massively.
Oh, dang it. That was me leaning back. Yeah. That's probably what gets the, like, what a letter of introduction is explanation, because she's making eyes at it. It's like, no, sorry. That's just me not being fluent in high speech.
I'm just not fluent. Yeah.
Like I get the gist, but okay. But yeah,
partner, I get it.
Yeah. That way you have something that, you know, stands out and is a badge of what you're wanting to do. And in the second case, the open invitation, because when the convocation happens, that's going to be a big hubbub with security and all sorts of other kind of things that definitely nameless orders, unless they came with an escort or something else, might get like run out of town because security is on high alert. And, you know, a squad of like 12, if we just took literally one representative from each of the orders that you might know, and you probably know more than a dozen, that's a lot of mages showing up out of nowhere. So, is there anything else that you asked them to do kind of up front?
I think she asked if they will keep their eyes open in the ephemeral worlds for any signs of seer encroachment or installations.
Well, nothing has, we haven't seen anything, but there is an oddity with the dogs, but I'm sure you all are aware of the dogs that have been talkative.
Certainly it is something that has been noticed.
Okay.
Office style look at the camera.
Yep. In that case, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you for your time. Thank you, Nalita, for bringing this to our attention. And I hope this continues to be a beneficial arrangement for all of us.
Certainly.
And then one of the adamantine era who are serving as guards escort you guys out. Nalita kind of grins over at you and says, well, I did manage it in 2 days.
Well done.
Just a lot smaller of a meeting than I thought it was going to be, but potentially to our benefit.
I think a larger meeting might have had at least one person asking a few more questions.
And they would have gotten distracted by minutia and order of the court. I don't know what that stuff is.
This is why we just sort of shoot a gun in the air to get people's attention.
I really should come out west and visit sometime, because that does sound refreshing.
Yeah. A lightning bolt does it just as well.
All right. Well, from there, what might Petrichor have in mind?
From there, it's probably like
about 5 days out from the showdown at the Tempest, which we could definitely start, or we could save that for next episode and dig in deep.
Yeah, I think some continued prep and then have next episode be like the Tempest is probably cool.
Okay.
I think she would want to summon the Time Dog. And would give Nalita the option of being there.
Yeah, she's definitely on board. Nope, couldn't do that. Nalita would die. Okay, yeah. I was going to say, because it's actually very easy. You could probably just go down to your Sentimani and just, you know, whistle and maybe show up. But she would have to roll Resolve plus Gnosis and then poof out of existence.
Yeah, that's rip.
Yep. Okay. Very good. All right. Good stuff. Yeah, I think Nalita takes you to her sanctum. It's not the best place for summoning the Time Dog, because it's not a domain for him. Mm-hmm. And her even being there is a little bit of a detriment, but summoning the Time Dog is also a lot easier for you.
Yeah, at this point, it's not super hard for me to do.
No. Heck, because you're rolling, was it Gnosis plus Spirit? I think we got that in spades.
Yeah. 12 dice base. Yeah. Yep.
And you have a reduction in how many successes you need. Anyways, because Supernal Watcher, yeah.
Yep.
So I like the idea of you guys finishing your summoning in Nalita's Sanctum, which is a Grecian temple. It is definitely in honoring of Zeus and Poseidon, with, you know, various very, very lightning theming, well, with, you know, Thunderbolt Guardians, the Tempestari, it just works. The temple itself is actually built within a large warehouse down at the docks. So you have this big open warehouse, some crates and stuff like that that are visible from the front door, and then stepping inside are, yep, that's big, like, white marble. Well, actually, it's not white. It's actually painted as is appropriate for what would have been Grecian in the appropriate time, excuse me. And, yeah, iconography, statues, a not exactly small bronze statue of Zeus on one side and Poseidon on the other. And everything is just so in very abrimos, you know, geomantic designs. And so the Time Dog steps out into this and kind of looks around, looks at you, looks at Nalita, and then back to you and goes, "Mother, this is very wrong."
I'm sorry, I did the best with what I could.
You did, but it kind of makes it a shake of the body, big shoulders moving. Because, like, again, big wolf, not dog. And he is looking more like massive timber wolf than ever. And then looks over at Nalita and nods and says, daughter. And she's just kind of staring, going, that thing comes out of your soul?
Sort of.
Okay.
It comes from the Supernal world, right?
Well, yes, but also, yeah, big damn dog. I really wolf. Would not have figured, wolf, that's true. I would not have figured the Tempest being a wolf. Would have figured a bird or the time dog.
He strides the clouds.
The time dog. The wolf kind of grins and then steps up and walks behind you and just like from Nalita's perspective comes out and now is a Spartan soldier with like Hermes wing, you know. Shoes and kind of looks and says, is this better?
No.
Elita goes, right, sorry, I got caught up on the look of things and rather than what things are, I apologize. The soldier kind of nods and then walks behind you and does that same and just becomes the giant wolf and then flops in a very like relaxed posture and kind of looks about. This is enclosed too. This is wrong on so many levels. And like at this point, from your interactions with the time dog, this is all just poking shit at Nalita. But then turns and says, you have summoned me. What do you ask of me?
I ask simply, if your representation here in the mundane world is necessary to your existence.
Oh, as I stalk you and follow you.
No. The Tempest.
Oh. No. I represent the Tempest. I represented the Tempest before it existed in those few short days. And when it finally stops, I will still continue. I am, and then kind of grins, the Time Wolf. I exist across all of time. Just as there are Supernals that you could not even fathom summoning because what they represent has not entered human minds yet.
Much like the dark figure we saw inside the Tempest.
Perhaps there are many within the Tempest that...
A death that is not yet real.
That sounds like one. Why do you ask?
Because we aim to reclaim the Tempest from the seers that have it. And a fracturing of our order might pose instability upon the Tempest itself.
I
And quite frankly, I refuse to let my child be controlled by allies of those that would squash the world under their boot heel.
Time Wolf makes a big doggy grin and says, they do not control the Tempest. They sit upon it, they steer it, but they do not control it. And if that storm, which has rocked the phenomenal world since the earliest recorded days, was gone, that does not end storms. That does not end the Tempestari. And even if the legacy that you founded were fractured, it does not end. It simply changes. It grows. It evolves. And if some who serve the Exarchs need be hunted down to ensure the survival of the legacy, then so be it. It wouldn't be the first time that Tempestari killed Tempestari.
I'm glad that you would not be gone if the Tempest was.
No, this is just a representation of even the self that you saw. And that is just a aspect of a greater whole, which is just itself an aspect of the supernal, which is just the aspect of everything. So long as existence keeps turning and the abyss does not swallow us all, I'm rather resilient. In between this, Nalita is asking questions of the wolf and just learning, because, you know, for her, it's a different supernal being. It's also close to her heart, we'll say. So,
yep.
Yeah, more conversation there, and I'm not going to have a conversation with myself.
Not going to have a conversation with yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We've all been there.
Yep. Every GM ever. Hey, these two important NPCs need to meet and understand each other. Okay. Technically, yes. I guess they do need to talk to one another.
I suppose. Cool. So I think, yeah, that there's no real like task that she needs of him or anything.
Sure.
Anything, but
yeah, I mean, even just discussion and asking questions is a suitable task for a supernal. And of course, he challenges you with, you know, some simple trial. But at this point, it's just, especially for what you're asking, it is such a minor thing. It is easily hand waved as part of the summoning itself. You've summoned him multiple times before and, you know, kind of, sort of, didn't really coax him into existence so much as the storm, but
it's a little wibbly wobbly.
Yep, exactly. Chicken and egg situation there. But Nalita does obviously, you get quite a bit of knowledge from him and studies, asks questions, has conversation with you, probing a little bit more about being an Archmage, because she's never met an Archmage before, and now it's somebody that who a few months ago wasn't an Archmage, and so clearly this is a new change.
Here you gotta step in.
Man, what is happening with my mic? I'm gonna bring it over here. Discord's being evil. Hopefully you folks at home and future editor Drew is not going to have issues with that. But yeah, it's just lots of conversation, just the great nerdy stuff that, you know, Petrichor really loves. Some good conversation, and then eventually he departs, returning back to, from Isabel's perspective, just the other side of the veil, just the other side of her mage sight.
Thank you for your sanctum, sister.
Thank you for sharing a being like that. Has stalked you your entire life.
Well, I noticed him for a little while.
That's true. Still, kind of jealous.
It didn't used to be so big.
Yeah. Or was that just so he didn't scare you?
Don't think that would have been a problem.
No, he looks like he's a good boy. And like then like there's a little flinch of like, he's still here. I know it. Cool. Then you and Delita go get dinner.
Sounds great.
And tomorrow to war. I like it. Yeah, very, very good setup. You've had in the past days, because, you know, you had some time kicking around, some of the Tempestari reporting in, some who are in Boston coming to meet with you in the Lita, some of the Nameless Order members from around the globe, including one Abigail, reporting in and saying, oh yeah, absolutely, we're on board. Some others who are like, hey, you really support what you're trying to do here, but we're good. And you can put on your not invited to the birthday party list or the yellow belly cowards list, depending on how they responded. And some definite we'll see you here responses from some of the seers, including one who came by and found you and Delita in person to just be like, hey, listen, we really, you don't have to fight, you can come and apologize, you know, one of those kind of you did wrong and we'll forgive you kind of conversations, which I'm sure the two of you took very, very well. And they left.
Quite frankly, friend, had I not already thrown down the gauntlet for a more formal approach, I don't know that you'd leave here with all of your blood inside of your body.
Yeah, something like that. So, yes. But yeah, you and Nalita kind of, you know, relax, enjoy Boston for the few more days. And with that kind of ratcheting build up, you know, the ozone in the air, the smell of rain. And of course, with two of you more advanced Tempestari members, Boston is just rainy as hell, which in November actually
is pretty fitting.
Well, and specifically, like, is very weird in my head because it's November and people might be expecting snow, but it is always rain. Lots of ice, lots of, it's slurry, slush, whatever. It doesn't seem to actually ever snow while you were in Boston. Snow, I feel, is too wimpy of a thing for Tempestari.
I mean, blizzard.
That's true. That's fair. Yeah. I'm over here with my, like, I live in the South.
The Texas boys.
Yeah. Southern California, Alabama, Texas, Japan. Oh,
look, I'm
oh, that's true.
Not,
yeah,
not a fan of the snow and the cold, but I have existed within it.
Yep. But yeah, I'm like, yes, no, it's just wimpy. No, it can kind of suck. Of course, if you go to Alabama, they'll love to tell you about the blizzard of 93. Anywho, Thank you all for joining us. For y'all, you have to wait like, you know, a month before you get to watch Jesse kick down the door and take the Tempest back. For us, it'll be next week. So enjoy that. And if you want to come talk to us on Discord, that's www.yeetinto.space, the Songbird original. And you can come join, chat, give me your opinion on does messing with the Time Arcana actually work for this, or should we never ever do it again? You probably won't do it again, don't worry. In case you missed it, the Chronicle is heading towards a final climax one way or another. And if you do want to support us monetarily, that's www.stayluckyclub. Again, not a required thing. Nobody relies on that money. It's just for upgrades in art and stuff like that. We'll catch you next time. Bye.